Thank you for that song. Take your Bibles now. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. And one verse is our text verse. Then another verse I want to mention, Daniel chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 10. All of us want victory, I believe. How many of you tonight would say, "Preacher, I really want victory in my Christian life"? Say amen.
Amen.
Or raise your hand, either one. Doesn't matter. But we all feel that way, don't we? I mean, I want victory in my Christian life. And I believe that you want victory in your Christian life. And we can have victory. We can have a lot more victory than we have failures. We can walk in the will of God. We can never be perfect this side of heaven, but we can certainly always be growing and becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes with victory after victory after victory in our lives. And there are certain keys to our having victory, some things that are the keys. There are many things that enter into it, but there are some that I would call the keys to having victory. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, notice what he did. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You see that Daniel, when he faced that crisis, got on his knees and did what? Prayed. Got on his knees and prayed. Psalm 119 in verse 11, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, my mind, my heart, my being, that I might not sin against you." So we see prayer and we see the word of God, and there are some other things that are involved in it. But I believe that there are psychologists and there are writers and authors who are telling us this is the way to victory. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Have a good positive mental attitude and all on and on and on. They write all of these things to try to tell us how to have victory. Many of them are not Bible-based. They try to give us a formula, but I believe the Bible gives us the formula. What God's Word says, it's what has to be right. And I believe that thinking Christians, those who really think right about those things, must understand that in order to have victory, we have to have a good, what we would call, devotional life. If you're going to have victory, you're going to have a good devotional life. This is somewhat elementary, but I'm telling you, it's somewhat the problem too. In our churches, we need to have a good devotional life. What do you mean? Bible study, prayer, and meditation. Back to the basics, the basic things. Bible study, prayer, and meditation. Now, the key to salvation is Christ. Amen? There's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. It has to come through Christ, and we know that. That becomes more important in a day when we're being more tolerant to religions in our country and everything. We have to be willing to say there's only one way and be willing to take all the flack that's going to come when we say there's only one way to heaven, because our society is saying that's being biased. We're not being fair about it. We're being prejudiced. But friend, I can only quote the Lord Jesus Christ in God's Word, and he said there ain't no other way. There isn't any other way. It has to be through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the key to salvation is Christ. The key to our needs are found in Philippians 4:19. The Bible teaches us that God will supply all of our needs. So the key to getting your needs met is to depend on the Lord for those needs to be met. God says that there are some keys to peace. If I want to have peace, for instance, and there are a lot of verses that go along with this, but I have to believe in Romans 8:28. If I'm going to have peace, I'm going to have to quote that verse and believe that verse, and I go back to it so many times in my life. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purposes. Now look, if you'll get that right in your life, then you're going to have peace in your life. Because you won't be complaining and trying to figure everything out. You will pray, you'll walk with God, you'll search your heart to be sure, but you'll know that God is right and God makes no mistakes, and then you'll have peace in your heart all about that. So now let's get back to the main part of it, the key to victory in our lives. The key to victory involves your relationship to this Bible. The key to victory. I want to have victory, preacher. I want to walk a victorious life. I want to live for Jesus. I want my life to count. I want to have the power of God on my life. This, my friend, is the victory book. Here it is right here. No other book like this book. It's the victory book. And you know it is the holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of our God. We know that to be a fact. This book will keep you from sin. You don't want to sin? Stay in the book. Stay in the book. Memorize the book. Know the book. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And that's part of it. Hide God's word, the principles. You may not be able to memorize every verse. You know the principles. You know the facts. We should have some verses memorized to help us, but we must know that. And when Satan and the demonic forces of hell attack us, and surely they're going to, you can count on it, then we need to be ready with our ammunition, and that's the word of God, and use the Bible. The word of God will also keep your soul on fire. It'll keep you from sin, but it'll keep your soul on fire. I tell you, it's a challenge to keep our souls heated for God and on fire for God, as we call it, to have a revival spirit. I heard someone say in the prayer room, I believe it was, we need a revival. We need revival. And we need to have our souls set on fire. We really need that. Jeremiah said this in chapter 20, verse 9, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. He said, I couldn't help but do what I had to do because God's word was burning in my soul. It was like a fire burning in his heart, kept his heart aflame. And he couldn't quit on God, couldn't stop doing what was right because the word of God was burning in his bones. It was there. It was part and parcel of him in that sense. Not only that, the word of God will give you a concern for others. You cannot, listen, if you're not interested in souls, then you've quit reading the Bible like you should. If you read the Bible like you should, you're going to be concerned about people in New Zealand. You're going to be concerned about people around you, like I preached this morning. You're going to be concerned about all of those that you come in contact with, because the Bible, if you stay in the Word of God, you're going to know that this Bible pulsates with the heartbeat of God, and the heartbeat of God is that souls get saved. I believe people in New Zealand are going to die and go to hell if they don't hear the gospel. If I didn't, I wouldn't support a missionary. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. If I thought ignorance was a savior, and if they just remained ignorant, they'd go to heaven, and ignorance is all right, and God's going to blink at that, then I wouldn't be for it. But let me tell you something. Everybody is responsible to God on the face of this globe, and if we get it, if we understand it, we know that if they don't hear the gospel, they're going to die and go to hell. You see all those pictures, missionaries show those pictures. You see the little boys and little girls, and usually there's one that catches you, your heart, more than maybe some others. Different ones, different pictures. I saw one little girl in there a while ago, and I thought, man, isn't she a beautiful little girl? And she had a Bible in her hand. I think, thank God. And I'm not just saying, this is not just pulpit, hot air, and rhetoric. Thank God somebody got over there and gave her the gospel, and she got saved. Now she's going to go to heaven. You see, people that don't get saved go to hell. I don't care where they are. Ignorance is not a savior. They have to be born again. And if we lose our burden for souls, it's proof. You show me a person who's not burdened for souls, I'll show you a person who's quit reading the Bible regularly. You cannot read the Bible regularly without feeling the heartbeat of God and having your soul stirred like it should be. Another key to victory is prayer. The means of prayer. I'm glad God has given us prayer. God said in his word, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean drive down the interstate with your eyes closed, all right? I wouldn't advise that, but you can have your eyes open and still be praying. You can pray anywhere, all over the place. I've prayed all over the world. I've been in some predicaments and situations in other places. But you know what? It doesn't matter where I was. Pray without ceasing. God is there. God's going to hear, and God will take care of my need through prayer. Prayer is a confession when we pray of having a need. Do you have any needs tonight? Do you need God? Do you need His help? Do you need His grace? Do you need His mercy? Do you have other needs in your life? Surely we all do, but thank God we need God. That's why we need to pray and go to the Lord in prayer. Daniel was an amazing man. Daniel had no black marks on his life, basically. And yet we know that Daniel was a man that believed in prayer, and he confessed to God that he, this great Daniel that we all admire, needed God and needed to call on God. And he said in Daniel 9:5, for instance, "We have sinned and committed iniquity." He got down before God and said, "God, the people have done that. We," he included himself, "we have sinned and committed iniquity. I need you. We need you, God. We need to be forgiven. We need to depend on you." And true prayer always is a confession of a need. And I believe God is pleased when He realizes we need Him. A preacher went to his midweek service. And as he got to the church, smaller town, smaller city, and a smaller church perhaps. But when he got there, nobody showed up. And so he decided he would start ringing the bell, tolling the bell, as they would call it. And after he started ringing the bell, a dozen or more people showed up, and they said, and that was the way they did it back in those days, they said, "Who died?" And the preacher said, "The church died." You see, they had quit coming to prayer meeting. That's a very simple illustration to simply remind us that we need to be a praying people. Anything of any eternal value that this church accomplishes has to be the result of prayer. We've got to have a praying people. We've got to have our women praying, our men praying. We've got to have our teenagers praying. And we've got to have our boys and girls praying. They can pray too. Everybody in the church ought to be praying, because God is something that shows our dependence on, prayer is something that shows our dependence on God. Not only that, it acknowledges that God has power. We go to Him and we're saying that hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? It means we recognize that there is a name that is so powerful. Hallowed be thy name. Reverenced. Why? Because He is God. Because He has all power. Because He is the sovereign of this universe and of all things. That is our God, and we go to Him and we pray to Him. Christ knew the Father's power when He taught us what we sometimes call the Lord's Prayer. But we know that He is telling us God has power. Missionary J. Hudson Taylor, and I want to quote what he said, "The prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity in any church." Now think about that statement. Just think about that. The prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity in any church. If we want to see mighty works of divine power, anybody want to see that? Don't we all want to see that? Mighty works of divine power? Not something we can say, we did it, we worked it up, we planned it, we promoted it, but to see what God does. If we want to see mighty works of divine power and grace wrought in a place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let the whole church answer God's standing challenge. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." Prayer. Bible reading? Yes. Prayer. We must be a praying people. And prayer is an expression of faith. It's an expression of faith. We believe, we know we have a need, we pray to God, we know God can meet that need, and we have faith that God's going to do that. That God is going to meet that need. Hebrews reminds us in 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we know that He rewards faith, and we have to have that faith. We have to believe in Him, believe He is there, believe in God, and believe that He cares about us. And I believe we have a God like that. I believe God cares about me tonight. I believe He cares about every person in this building as much as He cares about me. I just happen to be the pastor. But He cares about you just as much as He cares about me or anybody else in this church. God is there. And so we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying, keep praying, keep praying until we touch God, till we touch the throne, till we see the power, till we see God work more and in more abundance. We need to be a praying people, and not only in our church, but in our families, in all areas of our life. We need to do that. George Mueller was a missionary or man of God that had a lot of orphanages. And the way he supported them was through prayer. He prayed in all of those things. He prayed in the clothes and the food and had some miraculous stories to tell about how God supplied that. One time, Mueller was on a ship and they were in a storm. It was really bad. And some of them knew that he was there. And of course, they hollered up to him and said, "We're going to have a prayer meeting. Why don't you come down? Pray with us." And Mueller answered by saying, "I'm prayed up." Now, if you'll think about that, you'll get it. He wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. What he was saying to them is, "I've been praying all along. And I know God's in charge, and I don't have to come down there to that particular prayer meeting." And I think probably he was trying to show them something. So many of us, we'll call a prayer meeting when there's a lot of trouble. But what about during those other times? Let me ask you something, Christian. Are you prayed up? Are you prayed up? We need to be prayed up. And then our devotional life is part of it. And we need to have meditation in our life. That is an art that's almost forgotten. You know, conversation is an art that's almost forgotten. We're too busy doing this. We got too many of these in our ears and this on our ears, and people don't hardly talk anymore. Conversation is almost a lost art. Shouldn't be. We need to talk. I was asking a lady the other day. She said, I raised 7 children. And she said, I never had any of them go to jail, never had any of them on drugs, never had any of them fool with alcohol, went right on through school. I said, well, tell me how you think you managed to do that. What was the key? What was the key? And she claimed to be a Christian. And I said, what was the key? She said, well, this is going to sound funny, but she said, we always ate supper together. We made sure that we sat down at the table, even after the volleyball or soccer or whatever it was, brought them in. It might be 8 o'clock at night, but I insisted that we all sit down and have a good supper together and talk. That's not bad advice, is it? I think that's pretty good advice. But we need to slow down and meditate. Paul said to Timothy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. That means meditation is solemn thinking. It's serious thinking. Having a state emotionally of solemnity before Almighty God. Thinking about those things. Lord, what's wrong in my life? Lord, what is right in my life? Sort of a little inventory. And do it often and say, God, what's wrong? What am I doing? Am I accomplishing anything for you? What am I accomplishing for God? In my life right now, what am I accomplishing for God? Am I glorifying you, God? Meditate on those things. Is my life counting? Oh God, am I dead to self, or is too much self still there? Lord, let me think about these things. Am I filled with your Spirit? Do I walk in the Spirit as I should? We need to read the Word of God and think, and then let God stir our hearts up as we think about reading the Word of God and meditate on the Word. And then our devotional life means submission. When we have all of that, we pray, we read the Bible, we meditate, then we need to submit to the will of God. God will show us these things, and God is showing some of you tonight some things in your own heart, in your own life. Maybe He's showing you need to read the Bible more. Maybe He's showing you need to pray more. Maybe He's showing you need to meditate more. Maybe He's showing you need to do all three of those things more. I don't know. Probably all of us could do better than we are doing. But our devotional life means submission. You start talking about commitment and devotion, there comes a reverential holy hush over a congregation. They'll say amen to liquor, don't drink liquor, and don't smoke, and don't do all that. But you talk about really being committed, really being devoted to the work of God in a general congregation. Like, for instance, more so even on a Sunday morning, boy, there comes a holy hush over the crowd. Gethsemane, we think about that. Jesus said, God, to the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let it go from me. But if not, nevertheless, thy will be done. And His will was done, and the bitter cup did not pass. He died on the cross for our sins. Thy will be done. Is that the way we feel tonight? Nevertheless, whatever in my life, nevertheless, God, thy will be done. Four things: prayer, Bible study, meditation, and then submission to the will of God. Let me ask you, how's your devotional life? The whole thing. How's your devotional life? You see, crises are going to come. You can count on them. They're going to come. Dave Ramsey says, you better put some money up because emergencies are going to come. And I am not Dave Ramsey, but I'll tell you as a preacher, you better stay prayed up because some things are going to happen. They're just bound to come. And old Daniel, when it came to him, he just said, that's all right. I'll open my windows and pray three times a day like I've been doing. I'm prayed up and I'm going to keep staying prayed up. And I believe God honored him and did that. Success is a result of the time that we spend with Him. Success, real success, I'm not talking about money and boats and houses and all that kind of stuff. They have their place if you've got the money and all that. Don't leave God out. I'm talking about success like God looking down at us, looks at us and wants to see spiritual success. Sometimes overemphasize the other and minimize the spiritual success. But success is a result of the time we spend with Him. If you'll spend time with God in His Word, a regular, consistent prayer life, meditate, and then do what God says, then, my dear friend, you will have a life that is effectual and a life that counts in this world for the glory of God. Let's stand, please. The key to victory involves three or four things there. The key, the main thing, the keys we could call it. How's your prayer life? How's your Bible study? Your Bible reading, your devotional life, your meditation on the Word of God, and then following through with what He shows you. How is it tonight? If you're here without Christ, friend, come to Him now. Most everybody on Sunday night comes in, is saved. But you want to be sure of that. Be sure of that. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, I say it and say it and say it again because it's the most important thing. Be sure. Trust Christ as your Savior before you leave here tonight. And then if there's some spiritual needs and God spoke to you about it, you bring it to Him. God is leading you to join our church or to make a public profession of faith or to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. That's the right thing to do. Father, help us now. The invitation is yours. The word has been preached. The results are in your hands. And in the decision, the free will that you've given us to that degree. And Lord, I pray you would help us now Help us to have victory, to be victorious Christians, and to do something about anything that might be hindering our victory. In Jesus' name.